Well, good morning, everyone. Aren't you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? If you are, let's stand up and go to the Word, Lord, in worship.
What does it mean to be saved? Is it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven? What does it mean to be His? To be formed in His likeness? Know that we have a purpose. To be salt and light in the world.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen, amen, amen. I love it. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The scripture says that if we don't, that the rocks will cry out. If we don't do it, how many of you know it's the church's responsibility to lift up the name of Jesus? I don't think CNN or Fox News or ABC or CBS or NBC, none of them are going to be the ones in charge of lifting up the name of Jesus. It's going to have to be the body of Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What do they say? What do we say? We say that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We say that greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Right? Amen. That nothing is impossible with Him. So would you just lift up your hands this morning and say, Lord, I say so today that You are the King, that You are the one to be worshipped, that You are the one, Lord, to be dedicating our lives to. And so, Lord, we lift up our hands and our voices to You today. And, Lord, we say to those around us in the midst of this world that when all else fails, that You will never fail us. That, Lord, Your word says that You will stick closer than a brother, that You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And so You are the answer. You've always been the answer. You will be the answer. And the church says so. Lord, we ask right now that Your presence would be in this place. Lord, we lift up Your name today. Lord, with our voices in worship, with our voices in prayer, with our ears as we hear the word and we're affirmed. Lord, may You stir inside of us the truths that have already been there. May they be stirred up again, knowing that You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give someone a high five as you sit down this morning. Amen. Amen. High fives. Is that allowed? Hey, we're moving. No handshakes. Quick. Quick high five. Like that. Yes. Amen. 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 How many of you are tired of masks? Anybody yet? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, any of you do like I do and have begin planning out your grocery shopping time? Because you're like, I got about 15 minutes, I'm going to pass out on aisle 11. You know what I mean? So you're like, we got to go quick on this, go on quick. So it's actually helped me because I can't make it to the soda aisle before I'm ready to leave. So that's helped cut some weight. Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate that. Well, it's good to have you in the house of the Lord, whether you're here in person or whether you're with us online. We want to say welcome. Welcome, Noble Assembly of God. And we want to say welcome to you. If this is your first time here, if you're a visitor and you've come to check us out, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you this morning. It's an honor to worship with you. And we hope that you not only feel welcome, bet you that you feel the presence of God here. If it is your first time here, would you grab the card in the seat back in front of you? It says, we're glad you're here. And would you fill that out? And then in a little bit, the offering bag's going to pass. And if you'll just stick that in there, that gives us a record of your attendance. Let us know you came to visit with us. And that would be really helpful for us. And once again, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. I've got quite a few announcements, so I'm going to try to go through them really quick. Tonight is our annual family meeting, all right? But before we do that, before we do the annual family meeting, we'll have a soup and chili cook-off. And so you can sign up back there. Just put your name down and circle whether you're going to bring a soup or a chili. That way we can prepare knowing how many is going to come. And then maybe you don't want to make soup or chili. That's okay. You can make a dessert or you can bring cheese or crackers or all the other things that we need along with the soups and chilies. But one thing that would help is when you sign up on that list, if you would write down what you're going to bring so we kind of know if we need to get some other stuff to make sure we have everything we need tonight. And that will all start at 6 o'clock. And if you're bringing a super chili, I'd ask that you come a little earlier than that because that helps us to get set up. And that way, hopefully by 6, we can start eating and doing all that. So love for you to be a part of that. And it's always a great night. We don't want you to miss it. And then coming up the end of this month is our spring missions convention. How many of you know God is a God of missions? Amen. Amen. And He loves and blesses a church that's a church of missions. And we believe firmly here that missions is really the lifeblood of all that we do, that we don't just reach people here in Noble, but we reach them in Oklahoma and the other states and the far-reaching countries of our world. And so if you're ever curious of who we support, right on the back wall out there in the hall is a whole board full of families and pictures of missionaries that we support on a monthly basis and make it happen. And so we will have Danny and Faith Lund, Deborah Burke, who is the pastor of our inner city church, where we go and help with the Christmas outreach and various other things throughout the year. She's going to be coming to share a vision. Can I challenge you to be there that night too, because she wants to not only share vision, but to once again pour into us and thank us for all that we do as we pour into what they do there. Trent and Tina Morrow from Uruguay will be here also, and then we'll have the Faith Promise and all of that. And so I want you to not miss any of that. It will all be good. It will all be life-giving. And so we want to make sure you are going to miss something if you don't remember that next Sunday, Pastor, next Sunday is Spring Forward. We've got a Spring Forward, and you want to make sure that you are here on time and at the right place. So make sure you set those clocks right. That is next Sunday, and we don't want you to miss that. How many of you are just happy and so glad about all that God's blessed us with in facilities? Amen. Amen. I mean, the Lord has really put his hand upon us in facilities, but part of that facilities is all the mowing and all the stuff that takes, and every Sunday we want for when you guys to pull in, when people come to visit us, that our lawns are looking the way they need to, and the way we do that is through a volunteer system. And so we're asking that those of you that would be willing to would sign up with Pastor Steve to help do the mowing. It's on a rotation. The more people we get to sign up, the less often you'll have to do the mowing. We usually do them in two teams. So one person's usually mowing and one person's doing some of the weed eating, and the job gets done if you get two people at a time. The only catch is you got to have your own equipment. We don't own any equipment as a church. And so if you don't, listen, I push mowed a few times, but listen, the Lord really has to speak to me about that. And lately, the Lord has been telling me that my push mower fits my boy's hands better than it does mine. And and let me tell you, every time they're push mowing, Pastor, and I'm not, I feel it. Deep in my soul, it's the right thing to do. So Braylon says he's not feeling it. So anyway, if you can help with the mowing, see Pastor Steve, and that will be helpful. The last announcement I have for you is this. We have camps, kids camp and youth camp. Youth camp is June. I'm stretching my memory here. June 14th to the 18th. Kids camp is July 5th through the 9th. Ooh, did I get that right? I'm good. And we have Little Radicals July 1st through the 3rd. Little Radicals is for 6 and 7-year-olds. Kids Camp is for 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds. Youth Camp is from 6th grade, so basically junior high and high school, 6th to 12th grade. And if you want to go, if you have a child or a grandchild that wants to go to Little Radicals or Kids Camp, please see Pastor Chad. If you have somebody who would like to go to Youth Camp, please see me. Spots are limited, so you want to get on that. And that's all the announcements I have. So I ask the ushers to come as we give of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Man, Lord has been so good to us. And I just, you know, I always think about as a child, I heard the phrase, you can't outgive God. And that still resonates today, doesn't it? We can never outgive God. Lord, we thank you that although we continue to give of our time and our resources, we give of our lives, Lord, as we dedicate as a Christian and as a believer, someone who places their faith in you, we dedicate all that we do to you. The same time, God, you pour so much more into us. And so, Lord, I pray you put your hand upon all that's given, bless it, and use it to further the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Once the offering bag passes, let's go back into worship.
Be
have victory. There is a light, salvation's flame, Christ undefeated, trampled.
No matter what's happening, we have hope in the name of Jesus, that there's power in his name, that all we just have to do is speak it, the name of Jesus, and he's right there with us. He is an awesome, awesome God, and we can never thank him, or we can never praise him enough, but I sure like to try.
So gentle. Jesus, the Son of God, hung on the cross to die, but not even death
presence and spend a little time at your feet, just letting you know that you're an awesome God. You're so generous, so faithful, so true. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. King of Kings. awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Yes. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. We adore you. Worthy is the
Come on, let's worship him. Lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. Holy, 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 holy is your name. Worthy is your name, Lord, today. Glory and honor and praise be unto you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. There's no person that's too sick. There's no person who's too far away, Lord, spiritually, that you cannot reach, that you cannot raise up, Father God. We just declare that today, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessing and glory and honor and power unto you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing that third verse again. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. I like this part here. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Jesus. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glenna, would you come on down here? Glenna Balmer. Where's Glenna? We have a young lady in the hospital named Mallory Davis. And Glenna asked if she could stand in for her as we anoint her with oil, and Mallory stayed. Instead, Mallory is fighting for her life. She has a blood clot in her lung, her liver, and her kidneys are shutting down. She needs a miracle this morning. So some of you that are nearby want to gather around Glenna. We're going to anoint Glenna Balmer in behalf of Mallory today. And those of you that are seated or they're standing in the aisle, just stretch your hands towards and let's believe for a miracle for this young lady right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, as we've sung today. Lord, you are full of power and glory and honor and majesty. And Lord, we just anoint Glenna right now in behalf of Mallory. Lord, touch Mallory there at Norman Regional. Lord, raise her up, heal her body, Lord. Give her victory, Lord, we pray, and restore her back to her family. Lord, we speak life to her today and not death. We speak your healing word over her right now, Lord. Touch her, we pray, in the name of Jesus and set her free. Rest her body from any illness, Lord. Deliver her, we pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Now let's give Lord praise and thanksgiving for touching and healing today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Lord, we give you praise today. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was going to do that at the end of the service, but I just felt impressed right then to do it. Also want to pray, continue to pray for Marilyn Latham, for Rosemarie. My parents, especially my dad, needs a touch in his body. Kelly Freeman, Pastor Phil's wife, Kelly, is not feeling well today. The Grindstaff's grandchildren, Anna and Joseph, will be having surgery. They think Joseph, or they found out a brain tumor. He's 8 months old, so we want to pray for little Joseph today and for Anna. Shelly Helms is not feeling well today. We want to pray for her. And then the last day or so, Colton and Sasha Drever had the twins that they've been expecting 10 weeks early. And so Emma was born, I'm not sure if it was early this morning, yesterday, weighing 3.8 pounds, and Nora, 3 pounds, 12 ounces. So we want to lift up little Emma and Nora. They're both doing well, but they're going to be in the NICU unit for a while. And so can we just lift these needs up to the Lord today? Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of miracles, that you are a God of healing, that you are a God of salvation, strength, power, glory, and honor. And so, Father, this morning we do continue to pray for Mallory. We pray for Marilyn. We pray for Rosemarie. We pray for my parents, Lord, my mom and dad. We pray for Kelly. We pray, Father God, for Anna and for Joseph and for Shelley. And we lift up little Emma and Nora Drever. We pray that you would just touch them and help them to grow healthy and strong and be completely medical problem free. And that you would just let them be released from the hospital very soon. Father God, we just lift up every person here today. You know where each one of us are. You know what's happening with our family, what's happening on our job, or what's happening just emotionally or mentally inside of each one of us. And Lord, we just thank you that you love us and that you care. You care about us. You care about every person in this world. Lord, you're not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance, that everybody would come to know you as Lord and Savior. And so, Father, we pray your kingdom come and your will be done. For everyone here, those watching online, we pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for our leaders. We pray that your will be done. Your will be done. We thank you, Jesus. We lift you up. And we magnify and praise your name. Come on, one more time. Just give the Lord praise today. Just lift up your voice and praise him. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You are our Lord and our Savior. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. The conclusion of the service this morning, we're going to have communion. Those watching online, if you want to get your communion elements ready, we will be honoring our Lord in Holy Communion at the conclusion of the message this morning. The title of the message this morning is Don't Dare Compare. Don't dare compare. And so have your Bibles turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. It's good to see Ansel Munden here this morning. Ansel, Lord bless you. Thank you for being here today. Amen. His first Sunday back in quite a while after saying an earthly goodbye to his wife of how many years was it? 670? Be 70 in July. Wow. So Ruth's already up in heaven waiting at the gate, I'm sure, when Ansel comes, when that day comes. How many of you are looking forward to heaven one day? How many have made your reservation already? You got your reservation in? All right. Praise God. Praise God. I thought I saw Sister Boykin over there. Sister Boykin, we love you. Give a hand for Sister Boykin here today. Amen. A former first lady of our church that is now almost 35 years old. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We'll read our text in just a moment. This is actually a message that the Lord had laid on my heart to preach to the pastors of Section 9 South last week. So I'd been working on it to get ready to preach to preachers. How many of you can imagine it's intimidating to preach to preachers? Yeah, well, that was my assignment. And then on Monday, this was on Tuesday, on Monday I was praying about it, and the Lord says, no, I don't want you to preach that. I want you to preach something else. And I preached a message to them that I preached a while back here called The Great Train Robbery. And so I decided to go ahead and bring this message today because in reality, all of us that are Christians are ministers. You may not be a pastor, so to speak, or an evangelist or a missionary, but you are a minister. You are a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes in living our lives, not just as Christians, but even in life and comparing ourselves to other people, maybe what they have that we don't, or maybe the family they have that we don't, or how far they've got in life, or things they have that we don't. And we compare ourselves to other people. Has anybody in here besides me ever compared yourself to somebody else? Thank you for all those honest hands, and I'll pray for the rest of you that just lied. Amen. We've all done that to some degree or another. We've compared ourselves to other people, and really that isn't wise, and I hope you'll begin to see that, and I'm going to give you some reasons why that's not wise in just a moment. But we're going to start off with an illustration, but let's pray first. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. We thank you for this Sunday and everyone that's here. And we just pray, God, for your continued blessing upon this service and upon your word as it is preached today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Morris walks out into the street and manages to get a taxi just going by. He gets into the taxi and the cabbie says, "Perfect timing, you're just like Dave." "Who?" "Dave Aronson. There's a guy who did everything right. Like my coming along when you needed a cab. It would have happened like that to Dave." "There's always a few clouds over everybody," said Morris. "Not Dave. Not Dave. He was a terrific athlete. He could have gone on the pro tour in tennis. He could have golfed with the pros. He sang like an opera baritone and he danced like a Broadway star. No wonder you remember him." "Well, I actually never met Dave." "What? Then how do you know so much about him?" "Because I married his widow." Oh. Oh, a dreadful comparison, huh? So I'm going to preach this morning on a subject that probably affects all of us to some extent or has. Something that we know we shouldn't do, but in our humanity, we do at times anyway. The subject of comparing yourself to others. So again, the title of this message this morning is Don't Dare Compare. In total transparency, I've struggled in this area for many years, even as far back as being a teenager. For me, I remember comparing myself to my younger brother, Roger, who was 2 years younger than me, 20 months to be exact. When we were in high school, I was a senior, he was a sophomore. Boy, I wanted to be like him. Why did I want to be like him? Because he was a football star. You go to the high school games on Friday night, and even as a sophomore, he would be running up and down the fields. He played both ways. He played on offense. He played tailback. He was number 40. And on defense, he played middle linebacker. He played both ways. And I tell you, it can be a little intimidating and exciting. Exciting because your brother, but intimidating if you wish it was you when they're saying, and 10 yards on that was Roger Lance. And that tackle was made by Roger Lance. And every other play was Roger Lance, Roger Lance. And I thought, you know how athletes are the ones kind of lifted up and everybody wants to be like the jock or like the, well, you know, that's what they call them. Some y'all know that. But, you know, you kind of want to be like that. And I thought, man, I just wish I was like my brother. I wish I could hear my name called like that, you know. And he had all the good stats and all the girls liked him. And I thought, boy, I wish I was like him. And it was funny because a few years ago, him and I were talking. And I just kind of confessed to him. I said, you know, when I was back in high school, I always wanted to be like you. I was always kind of a little bit jealous that I didn't get my name called like you did out on the football field and stuff like that. He said, well, it's funny you said that because I was always kind of jealous of you. I thought, you're kidding. There's nothing to be jealous of. He said, no, you were always so smart. You always won all these awards and different things in high school, and I wanted to be like you. I said, well, I wanted to be like you. And so when it was all said that, we all just kind of laughed and said, well, I guess we wanted to be like each other. And so today I look around, I see other ministers, and I see their accomplishments, and I'm tempted to compare. And maybe you may do the same thing in your profession or with your family or things that you're involved in. We look around and see people who have achieved great things in their professional lives or in their family lives and in their spiritual lives, and we can be feeling very inadequate. You see, if you compare yourself with others, you can always find someone that you sense is greater than you, and that can lead to feelings of inadequacy. And you can always find somebody that in your mind that you think is worse than you, and that can lead to a sense of pride. So it's easy to see why the Apostle Paul, under the Spirit's anointing in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, why he said these words. Sorry, I thought I had my Bible marked here. First mistake I've ever made. Just kidding. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. Another version of the Bible says, how foolish. He's saying it's ignorant and it's foolish to compare yourself to other people. The only one we dare compare ourselves to is who? Is Jesus. We need to compare our lives to Jesus and look to him. And then while we will always fall short of his standard, he reaches out to us and pulls us up where he is and lifts us up. If we feel inadequate, he enables us. If we feel any pride, he reminds us that we are nothing without him. Amen. There were some pretty dynamic people in the Bible who did some great things who also wrestled with comparisons on their journey. Look with me to the book of John, chapter 21, and verse 15. John 21, 15. Now, in this passage, I'll just kind of set the stage. Jesus has been having breakfast with his disciples. And, you know, Peter had denied the Lord three times and had, you know, felt bad about that and everything. And so the Lord is restoring him, and he's having breakfast with him, and he has this conversation with Peter. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you really love me? And he says, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. And he says, hey, go and feed my sheep. And he restored him. Well, at the end of that conversation in verse 15, you know what, Kate, I'm going to skip on down to verse 17, because I realized I just told you what I was going to read here. So a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself, went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this. He's talking about Peter here. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Now look at verse 20. Peter turned around and saw behind them, the disciple Jesus loved, and this is John, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? Starting the comparison game here. What about him? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die, but that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? So we see that Peter begins comparing his journey to that of his friend John. And he says to the Lord, well, what about him? What is John going to have to do for you? You just told me I'm going to have to die. I'm going to stretch out my hands and others are going to dress me. I'm going to die. What's he going to have to do? And basically Jesus says to him, that's none of your business, Peter. What I do with Peter is my business, and what I do with you is your business. Each one of you have your own path to run. What I want you to do, Peter, is to follow me. And so the same is true for us 2,000 years later. We are each only given a number of years on this earth to do what God has called us to do. All our paths are different. All our personalities are different. Some of us are quieter and more reserved, while others are more vocal and outgoing. Some of us are good with our hands and do things with our hands real well, and others of us use our brain. Use our head. God has given each one of us different gifts, different callings, different paths in which to follow. Our job is simply to follow the Lord, not compare ourselves to where other people are at. Another time the disciples got caught up in the comparison game is found in Luke chapter 9, verse 46. It says, then his disciples began arguing about which of them was the greatest. It actually turned into an argument. But Jesus knew their thoughts, so he brought a little child to his side. Then he said to them, if anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Whoever is the least among you is the greatest. Who's the greatest, they wondered. And more than wondered, it says they argued about it. So Jesus gives them an illustrated message with a little child and says to them, the least among you is actually the greatest. Well, so that sermon lasted for a while, a little while, a few months. And look at Luke chapter 22, verse 24. Remember, they just had the lesson from Jesus about who's the greatest. Luke 22, 24. So what are we, about 10 chapters later, a little more. Then they did begin to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest. These disciples really wanted to achieve greatness, didn't they? Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here, for I am among you as one who serves. So they're arguing again. Jesus gives them sermon number two, tries to straighten out their ideology about comparing who's the greatest. And incidentally, did you notice what Jesus did right before they were arguing who was the greatest? We didn't read it, but if you look at the table or look at the verses, Jesus washed their feet. The greatest among them got down and washed their feet because there was no servant there. So Jesus, the Son of God, washed their disciples' feet before their argument broke out again as to who's the greatest. So you see, we're in good company today about all this comparison stuff. The good news is these guys that are arguing who's the greatest, that are comparing who did what and who's going to do what, went on to do great things for God. And all but one laid their life down as a martyr for Christ. So there's hope for all of us comparers. So just what are the dangers of comparing ourselves to others? I want to give you three reasons, and there's probably more, but we're going to look at these three reasons to not compare your life to somebody else. Number one, it second guesses God. It second guesses God. It's almost saying, God, I know better is the way things should be. I know more than you do, because you made me this way and you made that person that way. Sometimes God's ways and God's thoughts are not easy to understand, but nonetheless, here's something we need to remember. He is God and we are not. God has given each one of us a gift to use, as well as a time and a place in history in which to use it. You were born when you were born, because God needed you in the generation in which you live. You weren't born in the 1500s. Otherwise, you kind of could have sailed with Columbus or something. Well, that was 1400s. Anyway, a long time ago. But you were born when you were born because God wanted you to be here right now. He made you, each one of us, unique and original. There is not another person on the planet that is just like you. Even if you have an identical twin, they're different. Amen? Even if they look just alike. I made a mistake one time as a youth pastor. I had a set of twins in my youth group. Took them at Six Flags, and we're getting ready to come home on the bus, and I'm counting heads. Okay, there's those, so on. There's Ron. Okay, here's... I got not halfway home, but a few miles down, headed north on I-35, and this truck flies by me, and one of the twins is hanging out, trying to flag us down. Stop! I had counted his brother twice, because to this day, I've known him since they were three, and I cannot tell Ron and Don Brown apart, and they look just alike. And so his parents still loved me, even though I'd left one of their children at Six Flags. But even Ron and Don, who look identical, and to this day I can't tell them apart, are not identical. They have differences about each one. I thought of this little poem the other day, contemplating this message and considering last week was Dr. Seuss week, right? Was last week Dr. Seuss week? So it kind of fits in. I hope it's not too goofy, but here's how it went. It goes like this. I'm me and he's he. I'm not him and he's not me. God made us both, is plain to see, but uses us both differently. So that's Steve Lance, a little poem we come up with, So I'm going to send it in to Dr. Seuss. But we're all different. It's so very true. God made us. He uses us all differently. We are not to compare, but we are to complete the task that God has for us. Right now, and for the last 28 years, my task has been to serve as the pastor of this congregation. I don't know how long I'll be here. I only know that I'm to do the best job I can with the time God gives me, with the wisdom, the strength, and the anointing that he provides to fulfill his calling on my life. The same is true for you, wherever you are. Do your best with what God has given you in the realm that he has, in the area he has placed you. For us to compare our task, our calling, our family, and our situation to someone else is to second guess God. Now let me say this, we can and should learn from one another. There's nothing wrong with learning from one another. It's okay to be inspired by others' testimonies, by their stories. We can sharpen one another. I'm always glad to hear other pastors give their testimonies and seminars about things they've done. We should learn from those things. But to compare ourselves with somebody else, just as we read in 2 Corinthians, is not wise. The same God that allowed Peter to escape from prison, escorted by angels, allowed James, his fellow disciple, to be killed. He was the first martyr at a relatively young age. And the same God that allowed John, James's brother, to live a long life and receive the revelation we have, known as the Book of Revelation, to receive that on the island, is the same God that allowed John the Baptist to be killed and his head cut off, and he died at an early age. So God has a plan for each one. God has a plan for each man. God has a plan for each woman. God has a plan for you. And he made you the way you are. He wired you the way you are for his purpose. Ephesians 2:10 is one of my favorite New Testament scriptures. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." You see, God has already seen our life. He already, in his great omniscience, knows our life and knows the good that he wants us to accomplish. Isn't it such an honor to be called upon and equipped by the Lord Jesus to serve his purpose in our generation? Such an honor. So first of all, comparing yourself to others second guesses God. The second reason it's not good to compare yourself to somebody else is because it saps spiritual passion. The great writer Mark Twain said this, "Comparison is the death of joy." And science agrees. President Theodore Roosevelt said something very similar, "Comparison is the thief of joy." So if you enjoy feelings of low self-esteem, envy, depression, then go ahead and compare yourself to somebody else. Or if you enjoy feeling better about yourself by looking down on others and their struggles and their misfortunes, then go ahead and do that. Both devaluing yourself and devaluing others is not pleasing to the Lord and saps spiritual passion. It takes the joy right out of life. Amen? We must connect and collaborate, not compare and compete, if we are going to fulfill God's plan for our lives in this world. Pastor Stephen Furtick of Elevation Church, he said this about the danger of comparisons. "The reason we struggle with insecurity is because we compare our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel." We know all our behind-the-scenes stuff. We know all the stuff that nobody else sees, and we see everybody else's good points. It's really not fair, is it? What is incredibly encouraging to us is God stands with us in both. God stands with us during the times, through all the behind-the-scenes moments that our peers don't see, all the blood, the sweat, and the tears maybe that's gone into a project or that's gone into raising our family or gone into fulfilling our call or our job. And then he is also with us in all of our best moments fulfilling God's plan for our life, all of the highlight reel stuff. Besides that, the Bible tells us to be content with what you have. There is great joy and contentment. So comparing second guesses God and it saps spiritual passion. What else does it do that is not very beneficial? Third thing is it squanders precious moments. And I'm not talking about the figurine factory in Carthage, Missouri. Okay. We're not talking about little porcelain figurines. We're talking about wasting moments of time that God has given us to fulfill his plan for our life. Ephesians 5, 16 to 17 says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Did you catch that? Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Tony Keller, God has a plan for you. Yes, he does. Rendy, God has a plan for you. Ronnie, God has a plan for you. And every one of us, we could go and right around the room, everybody, God has a plan for you. You know, one of the men that I've always admired as a pastor was Jim Cimbala, the pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. Great church there. His wife Carol has the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. You know what? I'll never be Jim Cimbala. I'll never be Jim McNabb. I'll never be any other people that I admire in my life or that I look up to. I'll never be John Gifford or Richard Gherkin. I'll never be those guys. I'll never be Pastor Phil. I'd be tired trying to be him. And I'll never speak as eloquently and without notes as Pastor Chad. All these guys, we have our own style. And every other person in your ministry and in the way you conduct your life, you have your own style. You have your own way. You have your own personality. I will never be any of those people. You know who I can be the best? Me. I can be me pretty well. The same is true for each one of you. You can be you. Don't worry about what God's doing in somebody else's life. Don't worry about what they have or don't have or what family they've been blessed with that you don't have or their marriage or whatever. You just be the best at being you and say, God, my life is in your hands. You just use me how you want to use me. Help me to be content in what you've blessed me with and just help me to go on and live my life and one day hear you say, well done, good job. Amen? Amen. Because life is short. Life, the Bible says it's like a vapor, it's like a mist. It appears for a little while and then it's gone. I said before, you know, that 10 years it takes you to go from age 14 to 16 to get that driver's license. For me, that was the longest 10 years of my life, from 14 to 16. I could not wait to get my driver's license. One minute you're playing on the team in high school, and the next minute you're a grandparent watching your grandchild play on the team in high school. And it seems like it happens just that quick. I mean, high school to me doesn't seem that long ago, but it's been 42 years. And some of you are saying, boy, you're young. And some of the others of you are saying, boy, you're old. 42 years? It goes by quick. But we all have a job to do. We all have a life to live. We all have a family to raise. We all have a ministry to fulfill. And we only have so many days on this earth to do it. So don't squander any of the precious moments you have been given on time-wasting comparisons. Someone once said, you can be anything, but you can't be everything. Like I said, there's only one thing you are better at than any other person, being you. Look at others as fellow soldiers in the battle. We're all on the same team. Who was it that says, I think Pastor Phil, there's no I in team. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same, fighting the same war. We all need one another. We need to lean on one another. And we can learn from one another. But let's not compare ourselves with one another. In conclusion, let me share with you three admonitions from Scripture as you live out your calling on your journey to heaven. These are three of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament. The first one is Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Musicians, you can get ready to come here. We're going to have communion in just a moment. But I want to read these three passages of Scripture. And as I read this, just think about what I'm saying. Really tune in here to the Word of God. Philippians 3:12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. This is the Apostle Paul talking here. But I press on. Everybody say press on. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Press on. Forget the past. Go forward into the future. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, and the therefore is referring to all of the great saints of the Old and New Testament who have gathered up on the other shore, all those that he's been talking about in Hebrews chapter 11, says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight. Would you say that comparing yourself to others is a weight? Yeah. Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Hallelujah. Strip off anything that slows you down. Keep your eyes on the Lord, just as Jesus kept his eyes on the Father. And one more scripture, and it's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul was coming near the end of his life, and he was saying this to Timothy. He says, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. The Lord has a prize waiting for all who look forward to his appearing, to all who have set their hand to the plow, for all who have said, yes, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I trust everyone here and those watching over the internet have trusted Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life and are seeking to follow him. But if you haven't today, as we close in prayer here today and before we receive communion, would you just bow your head, all of us, and let me pray a prayer of repentance, a prayer of salvation, and then also let us pray that the Lord would help us to keep our eyes on him, not on one another, not comparing, but going forward with our commitment to Christ. Father in heaven, I pray for any today that may not know Jesus as their Savior. Lord, if there's one here today or watching by the internet that does not know you right now, Jesus, Holy Spirit, convict them. Let their heart be touched by your power and by your grace today. Lord, we repent of our sins. We ask you, Jesus, to forgive us, cleanse us, come into our heart, make us a new person. Give us a new eternal destination in heaven. And Father, on our journey to heaven, I pray that we would not buy into the things that the enemy throws our way, one of those being comparisons. I pray, Father God, that we would realize that doing that second guesses God and saps spiritual passion and squanders precious moments. Lord, help us to realize that you are the one we're to keep our eyes on. You are the one we are to pattern our life after. You hold us in the palm of your hands. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord, today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for making us who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Like the men who are going to serve communion, if they would come. We want to honor the Lord's death and resurrection, his shed blood, by receiving the bread and the cup this morning. As they prepare to serve you, are going to ask our team if they'll go ahead and sing a song, and then we're going to come back and read a scripture together, and then we're going to receive communion together. So just hold on to the elements they give you until we all have them, and then we will do it together.
This was crowned with thorns, is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now at his feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty, the radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. The fear that final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. Your praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. Your praise soldiers watched in vain, was borrowed for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the
everybody been served? I miss anybody? Luke chapter 22. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Could you hold up this bread? Father, we thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be our Savior. For you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus, we thank you. You went to the cross. We thank you that you were beaten and you were whipped and you were spit on and you were stabbed and you were jeered and you were mocked. All for us. All that the price of our sin would be paid. So we receive this bread now in remembrance of your broken body. Amen. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. Lord, we thank you for this juice, this red juice that represents your red blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is not one sin that your blood cannot remove from our lives. And we just receive this cup right now in great thanksgiving for what you have done in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Would you stand with me and just give the Lord praise? Just talk to him right in your own heart, your own mind, and your own voice, and say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you, Lord, for your peace and your joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, amen. I just got word that Thomas Davis, Mallory's husband, said that her liver enzymes are improving. And so Thomas said, thank you for your prayers. God is listening. I wanted to share that. Thank God. Amen. Give the Lord praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Phil's going to come and dismiss us in prayer. We've got some instructions for you before you leave.
Lord, we thank you once again for the sacrifice you made upon the cross. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us all a chance for an eternity. Lord, we pray that we would never compare one to another, but know that as you died on that cross and you rose again, you had each of us on your mind, that we may be saved and may live with you for an eternity. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're having